الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ففروا إلى الله. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. In the deen of Islam, there are two aspects to character development. The first aspect is purification, and second is beautification. In Arabic, they say they use two Arabic terms for this. The first process refers to purifying ourselves, this process of tazkiyah that Allah Ta'ala uses in Quran. And then the next process is beautification or adornment, that a person adorns themselves with praiseworthy akhlaq, noble characteristic traits. But for this process to work, we have to follow the tartib that Allah Ta'ala has laid down in Quran. That first you purify yourself, and then you perform those acts of ibadah which beautify a person. So Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala in different ayat of Quran has used this word tazkiyah. The word tazkiyah, which is the first stage that a person purifies themselves of spiritual sin. Tazkiyah means to purify oneself of inner sin. Tazkiyah means to cleanse oneself from spiritual dirt even before the ability to pray. And there is a very famous ayah in Quran where Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala speaks first about tazkiyah, and then Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala mentions that you do dhikr of the ism of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And then Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala mentions Fasalla. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى وَذَكَرَ اسْمَ رَبِّهِ فَصَلَّى. So in the Arabic language, Fa comes for tartib, comes for sequence. So the letter Fa means that something comes subsequent and after. And that which comes after the Fa is only going to come properly and powerfully when that which comes before the Fa has already taken place. And that means the real powerful effect of Fasallah, Salah, our prayer, that is going to be obtained by that person who has first done Qad Aflaha Man Tazakka, who has done their Tazkiyah first, who has purified himself of inner sins. Now why is that so? The way the ulama have understood and given the example of sin is that sin is like cancer, and it's a cancer that can spread. Just like in physical, if a person doesn't remove their cancer with some operation, that cancer can keep on spreading and eventually a person might die a physical death. In the same way, our spiritual sins are also like a spiritual cancer. Our sins are like cancer, and if a person is not careful, if a person is not watchful, if a person is heedless, if a person is absent-minded about their spiritual sins, if a person is lazy, lackadaisical, laid-back, if a person doesn't have that fikr and worry to treat their spiritual sins, then it's just going to spread. It is going to spread, but the only difference would be that in case of cancer, if it spreads through your body, you die a physical death. But in case of this cancer, which if it spreads throughout ourselves, then a person might harm their akhirah. They might harm their akhirah, they might harm their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It might lead to a spiritual death. And this is why this is so important. Now, it's important for a person to have worry about their physical ailments. People have that worry, alhamdulillah. They go to the doctor, they get their medication, prescriptions, they sometimes want to read about the disease on their own, just to increase their own awareness. Why? Because they have this yakin, this certainty in their heart that if I don't treat myself of this disease, then it might be fatal for me. But what is tragic in this situation is that same individual, that person is so ghafil and heedless about his spiritual sins, about his spiritual diseases that he has. And many times, person doesn't even know that I have this disease inside of me. And that patient who doesn't know that I have this disease inside of me, that person would be in a very dangerous situation. So in the Deen of Islam, there are some sins that we have been told that we have to save ourselves from. And we mentioned one example last time, anger. There are several others, like hasad or arrogance or excessive love for this world. There's a whole list of spiritual sins, inner sins. But what is very important for all of us is first to recognize and realize the importance, to have that fikr, that I have to, this is much more important for us than performing good deeds, because this is that cancer which will spread if you don't treat this. That's why the example they give, and sometimes people say big sins, small sins. Sin is spiritual dirt. It's cancerous. The way they explain this is that sin is like a hot burning piece of coal. That's how we should literally view a sin to be. It's that I'm holding a hot burning piece of coal in my hand. And that coal doesn't matter whether it's small or big. If you try to hold that piece, it's going to hurt you. You're going to harm yourself. You're going to bruise yourself. You're going to burn yourself. That's the tasir of every single sin. Just like water is cold, just like fire is hot, exactly in the same way, sin has this tasir, this effect that is going to harm us spiritually. It's going to bruise us. It's going to burn us spiritually. It doesn't matter whether it's small or big. That's the tasir of sin. Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah rahmatullah used to say a very beautiful statement that, oh my friend, don't look at how big or small that sin is. Rather look at the majesty and the azmat of that being against whom you are sinning. Because in comparison to the might and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the azmat of Allah, every sin is a disobedience to Allah Ta'ala. It doesn't matter a small disobedience, a big disobedience. It's an act that a person defies Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's will and wish. And that itself is very immense and very incredible. Or we can think that sins are like a scorpion. It doesn't matter again whether it's a small scorpion or a big scorpion. It will sting you and it will be dangerous. So the first point that we need to understand on this journey is that it's extremely important, imperative for all of us to work on cleaning ourselves of the spiritual dirt. In Quran, Allah Ta'ala is mentioning this even before the ability to pray. Fasalla comes later, but before Qad aflaha man zakka wa zakara rasma rabbihi. And Allah mentioning also that how will a person be able to attain this tazkiyah, zakkaha, zakara asma rabbi, through the dhikr of the ism of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the remembrance of the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the tarteeb, this is that same ta'aleem, that education that the Prophet gave to the Sahaba. The Prophet changed their perception about what constitutes ibadah. When a Sahabi asked this question that I want to be the most worshipping servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet gave a reply that if you want to be the most ibadat guzar, the most worshipping servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then ittaqul maharim takun a'budan nas. You leave those things which are impermissible, leave the sins, leave the haram things, and you will become the most worshipping servant out of all people. And this is the real difference between us and the pious people. We are leading lives of average, regular, ordinary Muslims. And those people who have some maqam in the eyes of Allah, who are close to Allah, the Salihin and the Siddiqeen, the pious people, the one difference, the major difference, the key difference between our lives and their lives is not good ibadah. It's not the good acts that we do. Because that's, everyone does those good acts. We prayed Taraweeh, they also prayed Taraweeh. We fasted, they also fasted. They recite Quran, we also recite Quran. They make du'as, we also make du'as. They perform zikr, we also perform zikr. They also, they learned ilm-e-deen, we also do study ilm-e-deen. They might teach other, we also teach to others. But the main difference between us and them is that their lives are sin-free. They don't commit any sins. Ilman iradatan, they don't commit sins. That's the main difference. It's not the good acts, the good deeds. It's this other aspect of our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is what is holding us back. That is what is sucking out the nur of every single ibadah that we do. Otherwise, ibadah is the same. They also make the same du'as. They also make du'as to that same Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They also use those same words to make du'a like we do. Everything is the same. It's just that they make those du'as with their tongue, which doesn't sin. They have sin-free tongues. They don't commit the sins of the tongue, sins of the eyes. And because of that, the words that come out from their tongue when they make du'a, they have a maqam in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their mustajabud da'wah, the du'as are accepted. They feel halawat in their ibadat, in their salah. Why? Not because of anything special or extra that they do in terms of nek amal, but because of the fact that they control their gaze. They don't sin with their eyes. And when they don't sin with their eyes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts halawat in their ibadat. So it's ibadat all of us have. We also pray. But we are not able to control our gaze, and that's why we don't have that sweetness. And this applies to everything. Everything in our deen, all the nek amal that we do, we don't get the ta'seer, we don't get the effect, we don't feel it because of this one major difference that we have in our lives. That we're not able to plug the drain, we're not able to plug the holes, the leaks in our heart. Either we haven't made true tawbah, and that's why the holes are still there. When a person makes tawbah, that's one way you can plug the holes in your heart. And sometimes for many of us, we just keep on increasing those holes. We plugged one hole, but then we create another hole. It's a vicious cycle that a person takes one step forward, one step back, one step forward, one step back. One hole, then you plug that hole, another hole is created. And that is why, if you have a bartan, if you have some utensils and you create holes at the bottom, you can try to fill that bartan, that utensil with water or any liquid, but the level won't stay. After a few moments, it will just dissipate, everything will come out. So this is the main difference. And what happens is that, why does this happen with us? It happens with us because of two enemies that we have. One is nafs and the other is shaitan. Shaitan, he beautifies our sins. This is what shaitan does. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about shaitan in Quran. Many things about shaitan, but one of the things that shaitan does to deceive us, and this is one of the deceptions and delusions of shaitan, that he beautifies our sin. وَقَيَّذْنَا لَهُمْ قُرَنَاءَ, that we have assigned to them comrades or friends in this world. فَزَيَّنُوا لَهُمْ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ, and they make their present and their past زَيَّن, مُزَيَّن, they beautify their actions, that whatever you're doing right. Shaitan beautifies sins. Ghibat becomes a matter of, I'm just discussing some fact, I said this, but he understood, he said this, and a person starts backbiting others. Bribery, person takes bribery, it becomes an excuse that I want to feed my family, I want to feed my wife, I want to feed my relatives, hence I'm taking bribery. Unlawful gaze, it becomes permissible. Oh, I've grown up with that person, she's my cousin, I've been brought up, raised up with her. We don't consider them to be faults. We don't consider them to be sins. We rationalize, justify. We try to provide logical arguments to prove that this is not. We change the definition of sins. Sins is not that what we think is wrong, it's what Allah Ta'ala thinks is wrong. And when a person changes the definition of sins, then how will that person repent? This is what happened to Shaitan. Shaitan wasn't able to see any fault inside of himself. He had so much ibadah but no tazkiyah. That's what Shaitan is in one line. Ibadah, incredible amount of ibadah, the likeness of an angel, but no tazkiyah. And that's why he had a lot of arrogance inside of his ibadah. This hidden, deep, concealed arrogance and kibr, this vanity, ujub, khud pasandi. And all of that came out when he was told to do sajda. So the sins that we do, in fact, the gravest and the most dangerous disease is that which the person doesn't even consider to be a disease. That's what Shaitan nafs does. That they beautify our actions and they make us see mud as gold. You begin to see fake as real. Our condition is that we're so fixated on other people around us, we're looking at them, counting the faults that they have. If only we can turn our gaze inwards, turn our gaze inside into our own chest, and then we will see how many faults, flaws, blemishes, defects, weaknesses, shortcomings, so many things inside of us. But we don't know because we're so busy looking at other people's flaws and other people's weaknesses, we don't have time to diagnose our own selves. And these are sins which are then holding us back. Sins are, they're like chains, they're like anchor, which prevent us from moving even. They prevent us from soaring, they prevent us from flying. They're just chains which chain us back, imprison us. And that's why Allah Ta'ala says in Quran also, فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ, that you should do farar, you should literally do break these prisons and run towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Firru, this is a word that's used in Arabic and also in Urdu, and the best way you can understand this word is you think about prison break. Then a person, when a prisoner, convict, he escapes his prison, he makes a break, and he breaks that prison and then flees. And the speed and the freshness and the jazba and the passion with which he flees, that's called firar, that he is just fleeing away from that place. And that's the word that Allah Ta'ala uses in Quran, that fafirru, you flee from your past life, this life that is chaining you, this life of sins, this life of nafs and shaitan. You flee this life. Where do you go? Ilallah. You flee towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You make this prison break, the prison of your nafs, and you flee towards the loving caress of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Come into the folds of Allah Ta'ala's rahmah. The only thing which picks us outside and places us outside the folds of Allah's rahmah is our sins. And the moment a person makes tawbah, they return back to Allah, they come within the folds of Allah Ta'ala's mercy. Nothing can take us out from our sin, nothing can take us out of the mercy of Allah Ta'ala except the sins that we do. Because every one of us, we are showered with the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. It's like a garment of Allah's mercy, a cloak of His mercy which has covered us. But every single time that we sin, we create a hole in that garment, in that cloak. And all the musibah and the parishani and the difficulty and the worries, they then pour and trickle through those holes into our life. Otherwise, every one of us is encompassed by the mercy of Allah. وَرَحْمَةُ وَسِيَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. Allah's mercy is all encompassing over every single thing. And when a person is covered with Allah's mercy, then nothing can harm him. The nafs also cannot harm that person. Allah says in Quran that this nafs incites a person towards evil. Except for that person who is covered by the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you see here also in Quran that when a person is covered by the mercy of Allah ta'ala, nafs cannot do anything. So we have to, the way that a person comes within the folds of Allah's mercy is to remove those sins and to make tawbah of those sins, to plug the holes in our heart. Doing good deeds is very easy. We have been doing these deeds for so many years now, for so many Ramadans now. The same sequence, the same pattern, so many years. Taraweeh, Roza, fasting, Quran, listening to some bayan, doing some zikr, some extra ibadah. The same, you know, it's very easy. It's we are experts in terms of doing good deeds. But leaving sins, that is difficult. That is very difficult. When a person begins to practice this, that I have to leave sins from my life, then they will realize how difficult this mujahidah is. That's why our mashayikh, they say that one person, he made a niyat, irada, that I won't speak a lie. And he made this intention, he says that I was able to achieve this after 40 years of my life. And he, for 40 years I was struggling that I shouldn't speak a lie. And after 40 years I finally was able to master this, gain mastery in controlling my tongue. This requires mujahidah. It requires time. And that is why this is difficult. And it's difficult because your mamla, your taluk is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are dealing here with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are not dealing here with some other person. If our matter was with someone else, then it would be very easy. You can just superficially clean yourself. You can just wear new clothes, wash your face, and you can be, people can think that you're clean. But our mamla here is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why we have to purify our inner self. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is alimun bi zati sudur. Allah ta'ala knows what's deep inside of our heart. Allah ta'ala knows the hypocrisy. Allah ta'ala knows the munafiqat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the two colors that we have, the two lives that we are leading. And we can deceive people around us, we can deceive our own selves, but we can't deceive Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if whenever we sin, we will not be able to escape the bad effects of that sin. No one will know. We have very successfully might be able to save ourselves from other people, to escape from other people, to hide our sins, conceal our sins from others. No one would even know about our sins. But the effect of sins will be there, will be very much manifest, very manifest in our lives. So we have to work on this aspect. If you want to know your reality, we have to ask our heart. Because heart is that one organ that we have inside of us which will never accept bribery. It's that witness which will never accept bribe. How does a person do this? First thing on this path then is actually to be able to ask Allah Ta'ala, that, oh Allah, open up my faults. Just the fact that a person is able to see their faults, their sins, their weaknesses, that itself is a very big blessing of Allah Ta'ala. This is there is a Persian term that is used for this, Dide Kusur, and was used by Imam Rabbani Rahmatullah Alayh. Mashayikh, they said, explain this, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with someone, Allah Ta'ala shows the person his faults. And when Allah Ta'ala is angry with someone, Allah Ta'ala hides the faults from that person. There are faults, there are sins, but that person is not able to see those faults. So, you know, someone asked that what is the most dangerous disease? And that person replied that which a person doesn't even consider to be a disease. When you don't see that flaw, there is no worry to get that treatment. Or even if you get the treatment, there is no worry or that urgency to use that treatment. That prescription will remain in your pocket. Someone might tell you that you have to do zikr in order to purify yourself of hasad or arrogance or shahwat. Person listens to it, person gets the treatment, but they just keep that prescription in their pocket. They don't use it. They don't feel any worry to use that treatment. They don't feel any urgency to use that treatment. The result is that the diseases remain. And what's worse, that the disease spreads. It becomes a habit, becomes ingrained, firm, eventually leads the person further and further away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, you can think of shaitan. That's exactly what happened, that he had ibadah, but no need for his tazkiyah, or not felt any urgency to do his tazkiyah, and as a result had all of those diseases inside of him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places this ghishava, this curtain over their eyes. A wall comes over their eyes. For religious people, sometimes shaitan beautifies their misdeeds. Sometimes it beautifies their own ibadah, that I'm a very worshipping servant, bahut ibadat guzaru. I pray my fara'is, I pray my sunnah, I pray my nawafil, I also do zikr. Person becomes a victim of this self-love, self-praise, vanity. They begin to view themselves as something. Second step, they begin to view themselves as better than others. That I'm getting these dreams and lights and sounds. I'm a wali of Allah Ta'ala. Then he creates riya in their ibadah. Affectation, ostentation. That khulus, that ikhlas goes away. That muhabbat for Allah goes away. And this is another difference. The second difference between the awliya and other normal people like us. The awliya, they're always worried about their own state. They're always worried about their own faults. They're always worried about their own defects. And an average person, they're always looking at other people's faults. Our state is more close to the second category. First difference was that the pious, Allah Ta'ala's awliya, friends of Allah, they plug the sins in their life. And we are not able to plug the sins in our lives. And the second attribute, the second difference is that they're always, despite the fact that they're plugging the sins, but the naik ibadah and whatever ibadah they're doing, they're always worried about their own state. They have this fikr about their own sins, about their own defects. And again, an ordinary believer, he or she will not have that same fikr. Why? Because they're always looking at other people. Other people's weaknesses and other people's faults. Sometimes they might say things with their tongue which are very crude and vulgar, and someone points that you just said this, they will refuse that I never said those things. When we cannot hear what we ourselves are saying, then how can other people hear what we are saying? How will our words have any effect in other people? We're so busy in searching for faults in other people that we forgot about our own selves and the faults that lie within us. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahmatullahi once gave a piece of advice to his students, very beautiful statement. He said, stop finding faults in other people and you will progress. In other words, if you want to progress on this journey towards developing yourself, developing your relationship with Allah, beautifying yourself, purifying yourself, then stop finding faults in other people. Today, it's very easy for a person to criticize others. Everyone wants to become a muslih. I want to do islah of others. But to become salih yourself, that is very difficult. Everyone wants to be a sheikh, everyone wants to be a teacher, everyone wants to do with tarbiyah of others, islah of others. That's very easy to do. Just you can listen to any bayan and just replicate that bayan. But doing your own islah, being worried about your own tarbiyah, being worried about your own state of affairs, that is difficult. We have to change our own self first. and before changing other people. And in fact, while changing other people, the niyat should again be that maybe by the barakah of this, I will get the tawfiq to be able to change myself. So we have to remove this dual rang, this color that we have, these multiple colors that we have, that we adorn ourselves with, this dorangi. Then with our religious friends, we are one lifestyle. And when we are seclusion, khalwa, alone, then we make shaitan abar khalil. We commit sins in private. We commit sins when we are all alone. We commit sins on the screen. This is munafiqat. And Allah Ta'ala mentions about them in Quran. So how can a person leave sin? It's very simple. That when a person senses some danger in the world and they have yakin and certainty on the harm that will be inflicted to them if they go near, then it becomes very easy for them to abstain from that particular act or that particular thing. In the same way, exactly, a person, when they have that yakin on the harm of that sin, then it becomes very easy to leave that sin. If I give a person, you know, if let's say there's a jar of 100 candies, and I say that only one candy out of those 100 is poisoned, and I give that jar to someone and say that pick one, that person will be scared. He won't take a chance. He'll say no. Even 1 in 100 chance, I won't take it. And that's, that person is fearing for his life, this dunya. And what about akhirah? Right? We are willing to take chances. Dunya, we have so much yakin that even 1 out of 100, we won't take that chance. We won't take that risk. Why? Because we have yakin that 1 out of 100, it's poisoned. Similarly, if you know that there is a snake which is venomous, you won't go near that snake. It's deadly, it's dangerous. Again, it's about yakin. When you know something for sure with conviction that there is danger here, it's going to harm you, then it's very easy for a person to abstain from that thing. So we have to build our yakin about sins. And there is no doubt about this, that sins are extremely dangerous, extremely harmful, not just for our akhirah, but for this dunya. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah, he in fact gave a definition of a true knowledgeable scholar, that the biggest alim is one for whom the harms of sins have become apparent. Not that person who knows a lot, or has memorized a lot, or has completed many years of formal education. But the biggest alim is that person for whom the harms of sins have become evident, manifest, because of which he's going to stay away from those sins. You know, we see this in the dunya all the time. If there's a heart surgeon, he will not eat meat. Why? Because he knows the harms of eating meat. He knows it. That's why he's knowledgeable. He's a scholar of surgery. And that's the effect, that when you know something with surety, you will stay away from it. You won't eat it. You won't eat that piece of meat. So we have to build that surety. And for that, there are so many places in Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a zabata. Allah ta'ala lays it down very clearly, that sins have a ta'asir, and the ta'asir of sins is that they are going to bring worries into our life. مَنْ يَعْمَلْ سُوءًا يُجْزَ بِهِ. That whatever a person does, there's going to be a consequence. It's ka yakino. That مَا أَصَابَكُمْ مِنْ مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ. فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ. That whatever comes to you as a musiba, it's your own sin. It's the consequence of your sins. There's a facade which envelops a person's heart. It corrupts a person's heart. There's a lack of barakah in such a person's life. There's a whole list of negative effects and consequences, the harm that we inflict on our own selves. And if only a person knows this with the yakin, then they will leave. It becomes very easy to leave sins then. On this path of developing our character, purifying and beautifying ourselves, if there is one obstacle, then that one obstacle is our sins. This is pakki baat. This is as certain as 2 plus 2 equals 2, 4. There is no other obstacle on this path. It doesn't matter whether which part of the country you're living in, which part of the world you're living in. It doesn't matter whether a person is fat or thin, whether a person is educated or uneducated. Every person is a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have a rishta, they have a relationship with Allah ta'ala. That one difference that is critical on this journey is whether a person has taqwa or not, whether the person abstains from sin or not. In awliya'uhu illa al-muttaqun. That the wali, the friends of Allah, are none except for the people of taqwa, none except for the people who refrain from sins. So the shart, the condition that Allah wants from us is taqwa, is abstaining from sin. Why? The taqwa means that you should abstain from every sin, small or big. And why? Because inna allaha tayyibun, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pure. Yukbalu tayyiba, Allah ta'ala accepts pure. He himself is a pure being, and Allah only accepts, gives qubuliyah to those things, to those people, to those actions which are pure. There is nothing which is impure. Nothing impure can connect with the pure. The guna that we do, the sins that we do, they're spiritual impurities. With these impurities, whether these are impurities of our eyes, impurities of our tongue, impurities of our heart, impurities of our thoughts, they're all impurities. And it's impossible for us with these impurities to connect with the pure. Impossible. That's why Allah Ta'ala says in Quran that man amila salihan min dhakirin aw unsa wa huwa mu'minun falanuhyiyannahu hayatan tayyiba. Tayyiba, hayati tayyiba. That on this hayati tayyiba, a person will get the wasal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why the easiest way to progress on this journey is that we look at the sins that we are doing. And since our mamla is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our relationship is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to be very critical in examining and diagnosing ourselves properly. We shouldn't, and our intention also should be very pure. It's not that I'm not committing this sin because people will look at me, or people might say things at me, or society might say things at me, but I'm leaving this sin because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not about makhluk, it's not about people, society, culture. There are many people who leave sins because of people, because of makhluk, or they stay away from sins because of makhluk. If there was no fear or no danger of makhluk finding out, then they would very openly commit that sin. We should have that fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That should be the dominant motivation. Even the unbelievers, they don't have that fear of Allah. The munafiq, he also doesn't have that fear of Allah. Upri upur, on surface, he can present himself as a very pious person. And inside, when he is all alone, there is no difference. He doesn't care about the commands of Allah. And that's the reason in one ayat of Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala joins the kafirin and the munafiqin, the unbelievers and the hypocrites. إِنَّ اللَّهَ جَامِعُ الْمُنَافِقِينَ وَالْكَافِرِينَ فِي جَهَنَّمَ جَمِيعًا. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala combines the munafiqin and kafirin and places them in Jahannam. the unbelievers, they don't believe in Allah, and the munafiq, they believe outwardly, but inwardly they don't have that fear of Allah. They have nifaq. So on this path, if a person stays away from sins, then even the small amount of zikr that we do will have an effect. Even the little ibadah that we do, that will also become makbool. And on the other hand, if a person does not stay away from sin, and they're doing long muraqabat, and long wazaif, and long salat-e-tasbih, and praying all other nawafil, then a person will not be able to progress on this journey. That's why it's very important, while in this month of Ramadan, this is a month of muhasabah, it's a month of introspection, where a person should find some time to sit and look at the sins that we are engaged in, and then do muhasabah of ourselves, that in my life I have this sin, that sin. Make a list of all the sins of my heart, the sins of my limbs, the sins of my thoughts, all the sins, make a list. And just like sometimes when we play cricket, we take out one player at a time. This person is bold, this person is bold, wickets go by. Exactly in the same way, we should work on every single sin step by step. That this sin is gone, this wicket is gone, this wicket is gone. Until we keep on doing this, until finally our heart says that I don't sin with my irada, that I don't have an intention to sin, that I've stopped sinning in terms of my intentions. I don't intentionally sin. So what happens at this stage, a person doesn't become an angel. You're still a servant. Occasionally a person can still revert back and commit some sin. They can accidentally sin. They can unintentionally sin. But those sins that a person does unintentionally, accidentally, mistakes, lapses that a person makes, those sins are forgiven very quickly. But these other sins that a person does which are done intentionally, while the intention of sinning is there, that I will continue to sin, and that intention is also there, those sins are very deadly and dangerous. So niyat ka bahut farak hai. Niyat, intention, makes a very big difference. Very big difference. So we have to finish the intention of sin. That's going to be the first step then, practically speaking. And this doesn't require major mujahid, it just requires one moment of true repentance and tawbah to Allah, where a person thinks that, Ya Allah, I just want to start a new life. I am just ridding myself of all intentions of sinning. I'm just finishing, eliminating my irada of sin. Niyat. My niyat now is that I will not sin. This is the first step. For example, a person is sitting here listening to this talk, and my niyat is that when I leave this room, I will not misuse my eyes. Once this talk is over, I will not misuse my tongue. I will not misuse my eyes. I will not misuse my limbs. This niyat. And then when a person makes this niyat, if after making this niyat, let a person then falls back into some sin, then they make tawbah, and that sin will be wiped away. But the problem is that we haven't taken that first step. We haven't even made the niyat, that intention of leading such a life which is sin-free. Our wish is that I would continue with my sins and all those other things that I'm doing, and somehow, along with those other things, I can become the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's our condition. That I want to become the friend of Allah ta'ala, but I want Allah ta'ala to make me His friend on my condition. Yani Allah, don't make me your friend on your condition, but accept my terms and condition and make me your wali. And my condition is that Allah, I want to continue with those sins, with that life of ghafla that I'm leading. That's my irada. So if that is our irada, then we can never come close to Allah. We have to at least make niyat that I don't want to sin. We have to leave that irada of sin from our heart. Today we see it all the time, that a father, he doesn't want to lift his son or his daughter when she is dirty. One says, go to the mother, she will change your diaper and then you can come to me. So the father is not willing to pick her. Why? Because of that smell which is coming from her. So that individual, that servant of Allah Ta'ala, who is smelling because of the sins, how will Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, why will Allah Ta'ala want to bring that person close to him? So we have to think about this aspect of our life. That if we want to earn the rada of Allah, the pleasure of Allah, if we want to become the friends of Allah, if we want to purify ourselves, I have to make tawbah of my sins. And it's very easy to make tawbah. Person performs wudu, they make niyat of 2 rakat nafil, they perform those 2 rakat nafil, and then after that they make this dua to Allah Ta'ala, this intention and commitment and pledge to Allah Ta'ala, that Ya Allah, from now on I won't commit any sin. It's an irada, it's a pledge that a person makes to Allah, that my niyat is that I won't commit any sin. Ilman iradatan, I won't commit any sin. A person presents that heart to Allah Ta'ala, where their heart is saying this, that I do not want to sin. And then after that, they try to live up to that promise. They try to fast with their eyes, fast with their tongue. Nafs will still be with you. Shaitan will still be with you. They will try to delude you, try to deceive you. However, since your niyat is that I don't want to be stagnant on these sins, I don't want to be involved in these sins, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help a person. Allah will take a person out of that lifestyle of sin. Even if that person falls down, Allah will give tawfiq for that person to stand back up again and continue fighting. And then at one point, Allah ta'ala will have daras. Allah will also shower His kindness and mercy on such an individual, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take a person out from that sin. Allah will protect that person against his nafs and against his shaitan. Okay, at least my servant is trying. He is trying to fight this battle. He is failing, but he is still struggling. So Allah ta'ala will feel love for such a person, and then Allah ta'ala will make us sincere. Allah ta'ala will make us mukhlas. At least this person is sincere in his desire to come close to me. At least he make this intention of not to sin. Allah will accept that ikhlas, and then the remaining work Allah Ta'ala will do for us. So we first have to establish and prove to Allah Ta'ala that Ya Allah, I'm mukhlas in my coming to you. I have sincerity in my irada for you, in my desire for you. I want to make you my beloved. I want to earn your rada. I want to live such a life where I live for your pleasure, for your happiness. We have to prove this to Allah. Allah, main aapka banna chahta. I want to become yours. So it's not possible that we continue with the sins that we are doing and we also want to become Allah's. If we want to become Allah's, we have to become Allah's. We have to give ourselves to Allah Ta'ala. We have to finish the intention of sin. That's the first step. Second step is then the sins will finish. And third step is that you will attain the qurb of Allah Ta'ala. So we should think about this over and over again. 3 steps every person will have to make. First step, that we have to finish the intention of sin. Our niyat should be that I don't want to sin. And we should work on this. Work on purifying our niyat. After that second step, we make another effort of leaving sins. And the moment we leave sins, that same moment we will attain the wasal of Allah Ta'ala. We will become the friends of Allah Ta'ala. We will become the muqarrab of Allah Ta'ala. And you will see barakatim with your own open eyes. such barakatain that a person would be stunned, the power that Allah Ta'ala has placed in the deen of Islam. Allahu Akbar. So we make dua that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to work on these three steps. Allah Ta'ala has one name, that Allah is Al-Kareem. And Al-Kareem means that if you come to me one step, my rahmat is going to come two steps towards you. If you come to me a hand span, I will come to you an arm's length. If you come to me an arm's length, I will come to you walking. فَإِنْ أَتَانِي يَمْشِي فَآتَيْتُهُ harvala. If you come to me walking, then my mercy will come to you running. So this is our Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have to take that step. We have to take that, whatever step we can take. If we take that step, then Allah Ta'ala's mercy is just waiting to respond to us. Allah Ta'ala is just waiting for to take us away towards Him. So we make dua that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all of us the tawfiq to do amal on Baba said. May Allah ta'ala make us people of true tawbah. May Allah ta'ala grant us this attribute of taqwa in this month of taqwa. And may Allah ta'ala, because of this attribute of taqwa, draw all of us close to Him and include our names also among those people whom He has forgiven. Every night in Ramadan, the Prophet ﷺ said that hundreds and thousands of people are forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we can use that and make dua to Allah ta'ala that, Ya Allah, let this night be a night where, Ya Allah, You forgive us and You place our names on the list of those people whom You have forgiven. And may Allah ta'ala grant all of us His qurb, His love. May Allah ta'ala make us people of true tazkiyah. May Allah make us people of amongst the muqarrabun. Wa akhiru da'wana anilhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. سبحان ربي العلى المحاب اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين اللهم آت نفسي تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم إنا نسألك شوقا إلى لقائك ولذة النظر إلى وجهك الكريم اللهم اجعل حبك أحب إلي من نفسي وأهلي ومالي وولدي ومن الماء البارد على الظمع اللهم اجعلني أحبك بقلبي كله وأرضيك بجحدي كله اللهم إنا نسألك إيمانا كاملا ويقينا صادقا ورزقا واسعا وقلبا خاشعا ولسانا ذاكرا ورزقا حلالا طيبا وتوبة قبل الموت وراحة عند الموت ومغفرة ورحمة بعد الموت والعفو عند الحساب والفوز بالجنة والنجاة من النار برحمتك يا عزيز يا غفار رب زدني علما والحقني بالصالحين ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على حبيبه خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.